welcome to another episode. The Level Up Show Podcast is here to rock your ass. We talk video games, present, future, and past. We'll talk about the news, what we play recently. You'll find us on Twitter at TLUSB. We're TLUSB!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition. It's the Level Up Show Podcast. My voice cracked right there. We're back, just like that dinosaur game that Careful Ralph took a look at on Speaking of Video Games. Careful Ralph, welcome to the show. Tell us about your new YouTube show, Speaking of Video Games.
So far, I just examine a game in my own way, which is not, I guess it's based on facts, but absurdity is involved.
Boy, howdy.
I feel like the newest episode was too long, but I don't know. It's a work in progress.
I liked the transitions. I liked showing the box art stuff. I liked the pop-up of the words you were saying at times. It felt very produced. It felt very, very well done. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, thanks. I am not good at that. The problem with that is I could have spent all day video editing, and it's like, I'm not going to do that.
You'll just go down the rabbit hole where you're there forever.
Yeah, and like it's not going to be professional by any means, and who wants to watch either of those games I've done so far for that long?
That Reindeer Games game is rough. That one looked rough.
It's
only four minigames, or was it more than that?
No.
Four. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding. I beat it in 12 minutes.
Yep. Well, yeah. Jesus, it's a lot longer than I got. The Reindeer Bones game, the real game, are they murdering people, chewing them up, spitting them out?
I should have taken a picture of... Okay, so we have two little golden books of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. One of them is based on... Can you hear the baby? Uh-oh. she's crying.
Little bird.
One of them is based on the Rankin-Bass 1964 television special. The other one, I don't know... I think it has something to do with Richard Scarry. I don't know if... If you guys remember Richard Scarry.
The name sounds familiar, yep.
Scary Town, Busy Town. What was it called? It's like an old... I don't know. But the Richard Scarry one mentioned those three reindeer games, Tumblebones, Snow Slide, and Tree Tag, and it doesn't say what they are. But I should have taken a picture of the book and put that in there. That's one regret that I do have.
Tumblebones, that sounds just very scary.
Yeah. Some guy I work with texted me and... He's like, I think that means rolling dice. And I was like,
I wasn't trying to be legit. You're killing the joke, man.
I'm glad he watched it though.
Yeah. Big ups to anybody that pays attention. The YouTube channel is Speaking of Video Games. You got to introduce yourself though. I know you're being anonymous with that, there's no name, but I need to hear Speaking of Video Games. Careful Ralph or another persona. Maybe it's somebody else, but I was waiting for an intro and it was welcome to Speaking of Video Games. I will be speaking about video games. And I was like, where's the name, man? Where's my boy?
Well, I almost just used my real name and I was like, I'm just not going to use any name, but I think one day the goal was to have other people on with me and almost like a let's play scenario, I guess.
Sure.
But I don't exactly know how to do that yet, so hopefully either or both of you guys can get on sometime. I don't know when. I don't know. I don't have to set up for it quite yet.
I wonder if you could... Uh-oh. If you gotta... Is that... You gotta...
I don't know what that even was.
I wonder if you could just kind of capture the audio and just do the MST3K style where you just kind of look at it and riff on it a little bit.
That would probably be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just kind of watch it together on like like a Vimeo or something like that where everyone can watch it and then just riff on it at the same time. That would be kind of cool. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Two episodes in, speaking of video games, not too bad, buddy. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Oh, well, thanks for watching.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Also joining me is the latest signee to All Elite Wrestling. It is Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Ryan, what is your special move? What is your finisher going to be in All Elite Wrestling?
Are you gonna take what's the trendy one?
I mean, right,
Superkick was for a while.
It's the bite after the CM Punk fight. It's biting people. That's the new
Tyson. The ear, or what are we biting?
The rumor is that somebody put him in a crossface, and I guess it was Ace Steel who bit somebody, but somebody he bit his arm, bit Kenny Omega's arm.
I watched this documentary called Tickled, and there was this guy talking about how in the UFC, it's not illegal to tickle someone that has you in a submission hold, but he would never do it because he feels like it would damage his reputation.
Pretty good. If you're just like, you just start poking somebody in the armpit and they just lose it, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, break your arm.
Yeah, you'd probably just be so mad that you're laughing that you probably would really hurt somebody.
I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said that if he ever did it, he feels like the person after the fight would track him down and assault him.
Now, you said this documentary was called Tickled.
Yeah, I found it like some like weird documentaries. It's the guy who does the dark tourism thing. I think that was on Netflix. He made some documentary called Tickled where he found some underground paid tickling thing.
This isn't like a, you know, like a darkened shadow of a person that's talking to you with like a muffled voice, right? Is this actually just Elmo talking about being tickled and just trying to hide it?
Most of the people were on there and used their real like name and voice and all that stuff. Elmo, then. But there might have been somebody, though. I don't know, because whoever the person was definitely trying to like blackmail like a lot of people. So and lawsuit people till they don't have any money, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of those out there.
But yeah, this documentary was a while ago, though. I think it was like 2016, something like that. Maybe earlier than that. So
speaking of the Tickle Me Elmo joke that I just made horribly, there is apparently the newest iteration of that is the tickliest Tickle Me Elmo. That is the new version of the Tickle Me Elmo. It is out if you need one for LB.
Yeah, I feel like if I was going to do a finishing move, it would probably be one of the like ridiculous ones, like elbow drop or a leg drop, you know, like just a normal move that really shouldn't be a finishing move.
I see.
Or DDT.
I was gonna say, I think I've always been a fan of the DDT. Like Jake the Snake Roberts DDT was clutch, so good.
I like Raven. The double arm DDT.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys remember? There was some kind of weird thing where you could join some kind of wrestling thing by mail. And then you would like select your moves and it would pair you. You'd like mail it off and it would have you fight someone and then they'd like tell you if you won.
Mail the results back? It sounds familiar.
I don't know, but my finishing move in that was moonsault onto guardrail.
Which, Jesus Lord.
If the opponent was on the guardrail or not.
you're just eliminating yourself by moonsaulting onto the guardrail and getting counted out.
Yeah, I had two matches and I went 1-1. My name was Big Papa Pimp.
Yeah. Or Big Papa.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, you probably weren't Big Papa Simp back then. I don't think people knew what a simp was at that point, so.
I don't know what that is now. So.
That's all right. Probably right. That's good. Yeah, I do like the double arm DDT. I know Moxley did that for a little while too with the paradigm shift. Now he kind of like flips him up and pulls him down. Almost like a suplex, but man, like Jake the Snake's DDT, Raven's DDT was really good.
Dude Love.
He had a good one.
I think it was Dude Love to the double arm, or yep. Either him or Cactus Jack, one of the two, or both.
Yeah, the old underhook and just bam, that's a good move. I mean, obviously my heart is with the stunner, but if I'm going like legitimate, what do I think would actually probably hurt somebody if I were to do that to them in real life? If I plowed somebody's fucking head into the ground, probably not going to feel great.
Yeah, I always like that. Does AJ Styles still do the
Styles Clash?
Does he still do that?
Yeah,
I always like that thing.
I think that looks dangerous. It looks very innovative. Like when I saw that, because I knew nothing about AJ Styles when he got to WWE. Obviously, like I knew the name, I knew he was from TNA, and I'm just like, what's the big deal about this guy? And then when I went and did my research, I was like, well, this dude can wrestle. Like he can really wrestle.
Yeah, the one where he falls on, like he has him up, falls on their stomach.
Yeah,
he flips. That was dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, I'm surprised he still does it.
But yeah, the first time I saw him do the Styles Clash, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a move like this before. Like it feels so innovative. And then same thing with the Muscle Buster, like Samoa Joe's Muscle Buster. I feel the same way about, like, and I think he's modified that because I want to say before he had him up, you know, kind of crunched up and came down. And now, yeah. And now he lays back, so it's way safer. But I remember seeing an early Muscle Buster back from TNA days where he just went straight down on his butt and crunched him, like that'll paralyze a motherfucker. But that also looked very innovative, and I was like, I've never seen moves like that.
There was some guy in TNA who did like some kind of flip pile driver, and like he never won, but there's YouTube footage of it. I don't remember what his name was. But that was the most dangerous move I've ever seen, besides like New Jack diving off
anything.
New Jack like stabbing somebody 20 times in the ring.
New Jack in any match he's ever been a part of.
Yeah.
He like threw somebody off the scaffold and almost killed him too.
I think
a simple ass DDT is great. I'm a big fan of just a normal ass DDT. That would probably be my finisher. Just simple, fuck him up, pin him 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So nowadays they always kick out.
Yeah, I wouldn't get out. I mean, if I said, hey, my finisher's a DDT, they'd probably just cut me from NXT. They'd be like, no. We need something a little more innovative than that now, bud. Although, like,
two mandible claw. That's
Britt Baker still does the mandible claw. She, you know, she's the dentist, so she does the mandible claw, and it works out okay. She really is a dentist, awesome. Which is kind of nifty. I'm trying to think. Like, to me, a DDT is no less like basic than a choke slam. You know, it just a choke slam looks cooler because you're lifting them up in the air. But it's the same kind of ilk of this is very, very early basic wrestling moves.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of finishers. Too. A lot of finishers, yeah, like
or clothesline. Back in the day, clothesline was a fucking finisher, you know.
Yeah, or like the rock bottom, or like the freaking torture rack. That's the stupidest finisher I've ever seen.
Torture rack. Oh, you're never gonna hurt somebody like that.
Or whatever that. Well, no, whatever the Undertaker did, that wasn't his finisher. The stupid arm.
Old school, where he walked on the rope.
That's not a finisher.
Yeah.
The person just let him do that too.
Jump 18 feet in the air and smack your head, and now you're apparently just gonna die on the ring. Like, it's fine. Seth Rollins does a really cool move where he suplexes him off the top rope and then like lands and flips up and flips him into another pinning predicament slam called the Falcon Arrow, which I've always thought looks really cool, but he never wins any matches with it. But it looks fucking cool.
That sounds
deep. Like Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb, I always thought looked cool off the ropes. That was kind of innovative to me. Sami Zayn does a blue thunderbomb that I think is pretty cool. I mean, fuck, seeing something as simple as the Razor's Edge for the first time, I was like, whoa, like that move looks scary as fuck.
It's a lot of setup too.
It is. It was, especially because back in the day, you know, you'd go to the ropes and do it and get him up there and throw him off that way instead of just picking him up and flipping him. Nash at least could just pick up a motherfucker. It didn't matter. Do his power bomb, but yeah, the Razor's Edge, that was a cool one. I was never a fan of the submission finishers. I couldn't get behind a submission finisher.
I'm a cloverleaf guy.
Yeah,
Dean Malenko, pop out that cloverleaf. I mean, like the match is not as exciting, I guess, ending in a finisher. Ending in a submission. So. Yeah,
I mean, the sharpshooter is like the end all be all for everybody, right? Like that is the ultimate for a lot of people. I've always thought the sit out Boston, is it the Boston crab with two legs, or is that the single?
Yeah,
like when you're sitting down on their lower back and doing the tight crab like that, not like Walls of Jericho style, but full on just retching them. I always thought that one was good. Wish more people would do that.
Cloverleaf, like modified version of that.
Yeah.
Sort of, I guess. Yeah.
Cloverleaf is good. Dean Malenko, man. What a stud.
Stinko Malenko.
That was back some when good I shit. Liked
Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Him, Jericho, Guerrero, the whole gang.
Dean Malenko's still involved, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a producer for AEW.
Nice.
Speaking of AEW, apparently, like, they have the weirdest things that happen in that fucking wrestling promotion, man. Outside of CM Punk and that whole weird shit. So William Regal signed a deal with them earlier this year after he got cut by Vince McMahon, which is strange anyway, right? He gets to AEW, been in AEW. They start a faction and a whole thing, him and Moxley and Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, and this new kid, Wheeler Yuta, all in this group called the Blackpool Combat Club. A cool group, really cool name. William Regal being the badass that he is, really, really awesome, right? Well, they just wrote him off TV, and the rumor is that he had a clause to get out of his 3-year contract that he signed and is headed back to WWE. Because the rumor is that he just didn't like what he was doing in AEW and didn't enjoy his time there. So he had some kind of out that Tony Khan wrote into his contract for him that after however long, this has been 9 months, I think, that he could just peace the fuck out on a 3-year deal. It's like, what kind of contracts are you writing over there?
That's weird. Yeah. I still remember him as Steven Regal. It's Lord, always weird to hear William Regal.
Lord Steven Regal. Yeah, he got knocked the fuck out on Wednesday by MJF, who is the world champion in AEW, with the old brass knuckles, just wrecked Regal in the back of the head, and they brought a stretcher out. Like, the, I mean, the whole fall on your sword kind of thing that you do when you're getting wrote off TV for a while.
Yeah, well, not to change the subject, but the clause you were talking about reminded me of...
Yes.
That we were talking about Christmas games. I do have the Santa Claus 3, the escape clause. On Game Boy Advance, complete in box.
Is that the next Speaking of Video Games game?
I don't know. I probably won't do another one before Christmas. We'll see. I may save this for next time.
He mentioned, we started watching the Santa Claus TV show on Disney Plus, and he mentions that part of the movie happening in one of the shows. Nice Rocco shirt. I didn't even realize you had a Rocco shirt on.
Oh, yeah. It's a banger.
Hell yeah. Oh, boy. Little bird. I heard a little bird that time. She's squawking.
Yeah.
Do you need to go check?
Her mom's down there with her.
So. Okay, right on. All right, well, welcome to the show. We're here. The boys are here. Ryan, Ralph, Derek, hi, 309. Giddy up, 309, I think. We got some video game news. Very limited video game news. Not a ton. And we have some games that we played, which... I'm excited about some of the games that we've all played. I'm excited to hear what you guys got to say. But let's start with video game news.
Oh, yes. I see that you have the news. Bring it to me, please. Quite.
Fortnite, right? Guys, I don't want to put this on the list, but Fortnite, new chapter. You guys excited? The Witcher is in there.
What does this mean?
In Fortnite?
The Witcher is coming to Fortnite. Yeah, Geralt of Rivia is going to be a mid-season release character you can get. Yeah. You got Geralt. I think the Hulk is going to be coming at some point. Doom Guy is in there in the Battle Pass, which is pretty great. the Rocket Launcher. They also upgraded Fortnite to using some of the Unreal Engine 5 stuff.
I guess I did hear that, yeah.
And it looks incredible on new consoles. And apparently even better on PC, but the update looks spectacular. And I also like the new map. The new map is very set up as all four seasons, which is kind of nifty. And the whole crux of what they're doing here with this season is they brought all manner of different time frames together to create the map. So you have stuff from like original map Fortnite and then all throughout the history of what's happening. So really cool update. I'm having a lot of fun with it, which we'll talk about. But yeah, they're finally utilizing some of that Unreal Engine 5 stuff, and it does look really good.
Nice. Those kids playing on their phones will really like that.
Yeah. All the mobile people that are playing against all the bots, very happy about UI upgrades from Unreal 5. Speaking of The Witcher, they also announced that The Witcher remake that they're making is going to be an open world game. So it's going to be similar to The Witcher 3, in the way that it is made. They're not going to go back to the older, stylings of, The Witcher, in the first couple. So
I had no idea it wasn't open world. I don't know anything about the old Witcher stuff.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's more of like a linear based, you know, load into a certain section and doing missions like that.
So 1 and 2 were that way.
Yeah.
I only played a little bit of 1. Most, but I played all of 2.
Sorry, I'm pulling something up. So yeah, that'll be kind of nifty to take a look at. Ryan said there's a Dead Island trailer that dropped, and I'm trying to pull that up because I forgot to before we checked it out.
Look that different than previous Dead Island trailers, so I'm not sure what's going on with that game.
Not missing a ton.
No. Is it supposed to come out this year?
No, it's early next year, right?
Dead Island will be released, yeah, April 23.
Okay. So it takes place in L.A. So.
Okay. That's not an island, but that's fine.
I mean, yeah. after what I played of, and again, I didn't play very much of it, but when I played that first Dead Island very recently, I did not enjoy what I played, so.
This one should be very different.
Well, that's good.
Well, I mean, they're going to probably try to have some stuff the same, like the weapons, like the and the parkour stuff, but I doubt it's going to play anything like the first Dead Island or Dying Light. I'm sure it'll be a lot different.
Yeah, I loved the first Dead Island at the time, even though it's definitely not a great game. But for some reason, I did almost everything in it. And it ran like garbage on PlayStation 3, but I still played it.
I bought the that definitive edition on Xbox and PS4 and never played it. I think it came with Riptide, but...
Probably, yeah.
Never played it.
I didn't like Riptide, so I don't know.
No, Riptide just had... I think I reviewed Riptide.
I want to say you did also, yeah.
Yeah, Riptide had that weird music video.
oh, yeah.
I can't remember who was the artist or whatever. I think it was some fake artist in that world.
But, yeah, this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have for news. They released a new TV trailer for The Last of Us TV show, which, I mean, you guys already know I'm over here trying to not break my dick because it gets me so hard. But if you guys have not watched that trailer, it looks extremely good. As if it, obviously we know it's going to be good, but I thought that trailer was excellent. Fucking excellent.
It comes out next month.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, January 15th.
Okay, nice.
What'd you say, Ralph?
That's soon.
It is very soon. It's weird to think about that considering where we're at overall. But I'm very excited about it. It should be very good. I'm trying to see if I can pull up. I cannot pull that up. Okay.
How faithful do you think it's going to be to the video game?
I bet it's going to be. I mean, they're going to bounce around to all the different. I think they're doing the prequel DLC stuff, and then all of season or all the first game. But it'll be interesting to see where they go. At the end of the season, like, are we going to get the entirety of the first game in that one season? And then we're going to get a second season with two, or are we just never going to get that because that's it? Like, I don't, what are we getting, you know?
So, do you think his body count's going to be as high as the video game?
Yeah, I bet he's just dropping fools. Absolutely.
I think he's get up and fools. Shiving people in the neck.
Yeah.
Throwing bricks at their face.
I'm excited about it. It should be very, very good. So there's that. I don't know if I've got much else for news. Does anybody else have anything that they want to talk about? I've got one other thing that I want to do news wise.
I have the Witcher 3 update next week.
Is that what it is? That next week?
Yeah.
Are you gonna check that out?
I thought about it cause they added new stuff and they added new quests and then they added some weird Netflix Witcher gear
crossover. So I guess thing?
you can look like the guy from Netflix or whatever, and then they changed some of the camera or they gave you more camera options so you could have Geralt closer to the screen when he's on his horse and when you're fighting. So but I don't know, like, that game is so huge.
Yeah, and I think that game came out in what, 2015?
That sounds about right.
15 or 16, like, that's a while ago.
It's like a year or two after the PlayStation 4 came out.
Crazy.
So that sounds about right.
Just crazy. Elden Ring is also getting a Colosseum PvP thing update tomorrow. So for people that want to play more Elden Ring, there's that, I guess. Like, fine, sure, whatever.
I don't really want to fight other people, but
seems
probably
kind of
would
strange.
Not be for me. I want to fight their broken builds.
Yeah, fuck all that. Let's see. No. Click this. Okay. Ralph, anything else?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I haven't paid a whole lot of attention.
Good enough.
There's the new Mario trailer.
Fuck. That's true. That's true. Yeah, good call. Good poll. The Mario trailer looks really good. Oh, tell me. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me.
I don't know. Like, the voices just completely turn me off. And I think they all kind of look weird. Like, I know they probably have to do that. But it's like, I don't even know if I care.
Seems weird. Goofier than the actual, like, source material, too. But
hashtag not my Mario.
I mean, like, I don't care. But I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not. I just don't care.
You don't like the way Donkey Kong looked, you said?
I think he looks way too goofy. Like, they look. I just almost wish it was just like a cartoon instead of CG at this point, if they're going to make them look that goofy. I don't know. Because I figure with the power of CG, you make them look as accurate as possible.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be fine, and it's going to make money.
They make it like it's some big, like, a war, too. And, like, what the plot of the last Mario game was him stealing the princess to try to marry her. It's like, that's the video game storylines, and then this one's like, we're going to war.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you think it looks good. Most people probably do think it looks good.
I'm with you on the voices. The voices still just don't sit well. Like, I definitely don't like Chris Pratt's voice. I think it sounds bad. I think Charlie Day's Luigi voice is fine, and then Anna Taylor-Joy's Peach, I didn't find to be anything at all, really. So,
yeah, I don't like any of them.
Yeah,
like not a single one.
Not even Jack Black's Bowser. That's everyone's all over the Bowser voice the first time.
No, I don't, because like I don't know what these characters sound like besides, or like right. It's a me. Like that's
right.
Oh, like it's just after like having my entire life basically knowing
four words
it sound like for the most part, and then they put those voices on. It's just it's too weird. But
they should have just went old silent video, you know, went back to the old silent movies and just done that.
Well, like I bet if this does well, they're gonna make a Zelda movie. I don't see why they wouldn't, or like, you know, some kind of extended universe. Like, what are they gonna do for Link? They're gonna make him talk.
Yeah, so the question that somebody asked me is like, okay, how's this going to all turn into a Smash Bros. Movie? Because you know that's what they're headed towards. And I was like, you think so? And they're like, absolutely. Like, they're hoping that this does well enough, and it's going to open the door to a Smash Bros. Style Avengers movie. And I was like, I don't think so at all.
They're going to fight some giant hand. Is that what they're going to do?
I hope so.
I mean, like, I don't think you give Seth Rogen Donkey Kong without setting up a Donkey Kong movie at some point.
Yeah.
Like, in... Well, who else?
Somebody they else kind of made that movie with Wreck-It Ralph, so like it's kind of.
Oh, that's true. And Mario was in that, I think, wasn't he?
I think
he had
so.
A brief. Yeah.
I think I'll go ahead.
No, I mean, I feel like there's going to be extended universe as long as it does well, which on the way it would.
It's going to do well.
I like putting everything in there. That Mario Kart in there, all kinds of goofy shit.
Old stage one side by side level, like side scrolling stuff. That, like, the thing that I enjoyed about the trailer the most is that it seems like they're at least putting some care into what the fuck they're putting on the TV screen.
Well, yeah, because like Miyamoto's involved somehow, so that's a plus. I'm just kind of surprised he's down with those voices, but maybe the Japanese voices are different.
He's like, American voices, I don't care.
I don't know. They may not even have Japanese voices, they probably just have subtitles.
No, could be.
I don't know how that would work.
Or they're just going to be what we don't do, which is, you know, just get the voice actors for the fucking video games and put them in the movie.
Yeah.
Does that Martin A guy make a cameo?
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
They could get Guillermo del Toro and Kojima to make the next Mario movie.
Okay.
Mario and the Max.
Yeah.
I'm down
Mario...
for that.
Cross Death Stranding.
Yeah, I don't want them to make the next movie. I want them to make the next Mario game.
I don't know.
I feel like there would be too many restrictions.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's good stuff. Can we put Mario in a box? No. Damn it.
Hey, Solid Snake is in one of those Smash Brothers games. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
At some point, like, that's what we're headed towards is, like, you know, left versus right, fucking north versus south. We're getting, you know, the war. The war for Nintendo. Who's going to be the winner? Who runs Nintendo? It's me. Doug Bowser. Oh, shit. Last but not least that I've got is I just want to go through a few categories from the Game Awards that are going to happen on Thursday and see what your guys' opinions are on some winners. I think I'm going to pick five categories to do. So, you know what? I'm going to pick four because there's a line of four. There's four lines of different categories. There's a fuck ton of categories. So I'm going to start down here. And we're going to work our way up here. Down here it says most anticipated game. I'm going to read these to you. I want your guys' opinions.
Best category.
Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4 Remake, which sure, Starfield, and Legend of Zelda. I don't want to play this shit. Tears of the Kingdom.
I'd probably guess Tears of the Kingdom or Starfield.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Still blows my mind that this is a category. You win an award and the game may never even come out.
Yeah. Scalebound is the winner. Let's go.
I don't know. Mine would probably be Resident Evil, but
I think my gut says it's going to be Zelda that'll win this, right?
That's not necessarily my choice, but that's what I
my personal vote is Hogwarts Legacy. My thought of who's going to win is Legend of Zelda.
It's weird that they have the Hogwarts thing in there because of all that backlash that JK is getting.
This is the subtext for the category. Recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. Apparently, remaking an existing game is demonstrably illustrating the potential to push the gaming medium forward.
And I'm sure that's which version of Hogwarts Legacy really
is going to be pushing everything.
Yeah, why is it still on Switch? I don't know. It may not be, I guess.
I guess all these games are highly likely to come out, though, so at least they picked games that will come out.
That's true. That's true.
It'd be funny if one of them got pushed to next year.
This is where it gets hard for me to pick these categories because I struggle with. Do we want to go best RPG or best indie? Best debut indie. I kind of want to go debut indie. Debut indie. Neon White, which is a game I do have like. I have a desire to check out, but I've not purchased yet. That's on here. Norco,
best
which
indie and best debut indie are there two?
I don't know. I'm just going by the third line. There might be. This says best debut indie. Norco, which is available on Game Pass. Norco is a point and click adventure. Stray, Tunic, and then Vampire Survivors, which I have installed also, and that's also on Game Pass. So.
Yeah, that's a different category. If best indie and best debut indie, like I feel like. Okay. Oh, I found it.
I mean, people are blowing their load about Vampire Survivors, but I feel like, boy, they did a Stray. I feel like Neon White's probably the best reviewed out of them, but maybe not. I'm not sure.
The only two I know are Stray and Tunic, but
I know enough about the other ones. My gut just says it's going to be Stray because I don't think they're going to give Stray Game of the Year. So I think Stray's going. Oh.
I forgot it was nominated for Game of the Year. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Stray was nominated for Game of the
Year? Fuck yeah, it was. Kitty, kitty, motherfucker, pussy. Meow, meow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going Stray, Ralph? You think Stray?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good point.
Ryan, what are you mulling over here?
I only know two of them, so I'd pick Stray.
All right, Stray. I just think that's the right. I think that's what's going to happen.
Is Neon White from the guy who made Donut County? Is that right?
Oh, honestly, don't know.
I'd have to look. I think it is.
But Angel Matrix.
They're nothing alike, obviously.
Yeah, definitely not alike.
I'll try to figure that out.
But yeah, check that out while I pull up the next category here. I guess it probably doesn't make sense to go right to Best Indie, but I am going to go look and see what the nominees are for this. Hold on. Why
very
is it
similar?
It's the same four. It's three of the five games that are the same.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. But
Sifu.
Ben Esposito.
Same guy.
Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah. Cult of the Lamb? You never heard of that?
No.
Oh, man. I want to play that game real bad.
That's blowing up, too. Yeah, that's a developer. Published joint.
I want to check that game out real bad. Should we go best action adventure or best ongoing?
Oh my god.
Action adventure. I don't know about ongoing.
Okay. Best action adventure game. Again, so many of the same nominees. Plague Tale Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon 2, Stray, and Tunic.
God of War.
Yeah. Again, I don't think God of War is going to win Game of the Year, so this is where it's going to get its due, is right here with action adventure game.
Yeah,
well, it's like that's a pretty sad list. Like,
it is.
A Plague Tale is on there. Plague Tale's
not
a stealth game.
Yeah, there's not much action going on in that fucking game.
That is a stealth game. Don't get it confused with an action adventure game.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Best Action has TMNT Shredder's Revenge in it.
Okay.
As well as Bayonetta 3. Ralph knows all about Bayonetta 3. Big fan.
I guess Stray, yeah, so adventure, I guess. I don't know what I play. Is a Plague Tale adventure game?
I don't know that I'd call it that personally, but whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd probably say God of War. But I've only played
a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played Stray yet.
You should play Stray. You should play Stray. I didn't finish Tunic out. I finished the first part of Tunic and did not go back to the second part.
I got 3 weeks off coming up, so
holy shit.
My plan to
when do you start up. That? Fucking sign me up for that kind of vacation, bud.
This Friday is my last day for 3 weeks and then
until the new year.
Start up. Yep. So I'm hoping to catch up because right now, like, I haven't really played that many games.
Sure.
I'm way behind.
And last but not least, and you can check out the categories off if you want to up at thegameawards.com. We're just going to go, obviously, Game of the Year, which Plague Tale is on also, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon 2, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I mean, realistically, it comes down, in my opinion, to God of War and Elden Ring, and I just don't see Elden Ring losing this.
Where's Game of the Year? Let's see. Oh, there it is, first one.
I think Elden Ring got it.
Yeah.
If I play Stray, then I would have played all of these. This is a pretty shitty year for Game of the Year. A Plague Tale is nominated. Stray is nominated. Yeah. Xenoblade made it, which is nuts. Wow. So yeah, I pick Elden Ring, but what the fuck? That makes me think this year sucked for games.
Yeah, I just think the nominations are not great. I will run this one down really quick because it's kind of intriguing to me. And it makes me realize I need to finish Immortality. Best performance, as in performance capture, you have Horizon for Ashley Birch doing Aloy, Plague Tale Requiem. I'm guessing this is the girl that plays the main chick. I don't know. I can't remember her name.
Rat Girl.
Yeah, Rat Girl. God of War Ragnarok for, it's Christopher Judge as Kratos, the main woman from Immortality. Her name is Manon Gage. And then Sunny Soljic, who plays Atreus and God of War Ragnarok. I presume that this is probably going to go to the chick from Immortality, but
what the hell? What about the cat that played the cat in Stray?
Yeah,
no cats. No cats.
On all these lists. What
no
the fuck.
No cats were harmed or used at all ever. Yeah, it's the same five games every category.
Immortality. I'm
not even kidding you. No. Game of the Year is six nominations. Game Direction is four of those six with Immortality in there. Best Narrative.
Sonny Atreus?
Yeah, he's Atreus.
Okay.
Best Narrative is four of the five Game of the Year nominees. It's just the same five. Yeah. Scorn. Yeah. Scorn got nominated for Best Art Direction.
I hate that game so much.
I deleted it after you said it was bad. I was like, I don't even want to do this.
I would like to finish it just because it's so short, but like I think the art looks cool initially, but then you realize you're just going to look at that for 5 hours and it quickly wears out its welcome.
Yeah, not about that life, unfortunately. So there you go. There's some game awards. That's on Thursday night. So for anyone that wants to check that out, I think it starts at 7 o'clock.
Have you played any of these mobile games?
I didn't look at the nominees for best mobile game. I've been on some mobile game kicks. I did not write these down, but I've been on some mobile games lately.
Some Marvel Snap.
I'm big on the Marvel Snap. I've put in all of $0 in it because I'm just not one of those guys. But Marvel Snap is a lot of fun. I've never played any of these other ones though.
Okay. No Apex Legends mobile?
Nope. Didn't play any Apex Legends. I did download. I should have put this on here. Fucking. Let's just get into this. Games that we've been playing lately. Let's talk about the games we played. SteamWorld. SteamWorld. Holy fuck. Shovel Knight Dig is on Apple Arcade, and it's on Apple Arcade for free if you have a Netflix subscription. So remember when I was saying that I was playing the tower defense game? What the fuck was that? Damn it. What's it called, Ryan?
I just thought
Into the Breach.
Live was on best role playing game.
What is it?
Live Alive was on best role playing game.
God.
So it was Pokemon.
Into the Breach was free with Netflix subscription. And then when I was looking the other day for video games or games on my phone, Shovel Knight Dig. Free to play if you have a Netflix subscription through Apple Arcade. And I was like, holy shit, really? So I checked that out. I should wait for Careful Ralph to get back to talk about that because I think he would be interested in that. So, Marvel Snap is definitely, if you have any interest in playing a phone game, and you want the phone game to take less than 3 minutes to play, that's a good one. I also started playing Threes, which I've never played Threes. Threes is a really nice, simple, easy mobile game, which I enjoy. And then apparently they released a new Reigns game that was also free. So I checked that out through Apple Arcade. But Ralph, as you were just leaving, I was saying that I realized that Shovel Knight Dig is on Apple Arcade for free if you have a Netflix subscription.
Oh, that's cool.
I had no idea. So I checked out
Apple Arcade, or is it on the Google Play Store as well?
You might be able to check on the Google Play Store. I don't know, but I know that for sure it's on Apple Arcade. And so I checked this out and I realized why I play like one-handed phone games, because they're way easier to handle. Playing Shovel Knight Dig on my phone is fucking difficult. And that game definitely needs a controller. So if I had one of those, are they Jawbones? Is that what they're called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Backbone, maybe?
Backbone.
Jawbone was the old fitness tracker thing way back in the day.
Talking about the Sony branded ones?
Maybe. If I had a Backbone and I had some controller piece to it, it would be a little easier. But hey, for free, I didn't have to spend $20-25 on Shovel Knight Dig. I'd still buy it on the Switch if it got down to like $10, but Shovel Knight Dig is all right. It's not so bad.
$100 for that Backbone.
Yeah,
control.
Fuck that. I'm not spending it on that. I do not care. The idea, I got to play Shovel Knight Dig for free. Pretty cool. I've been playing a lot of Threes. Threes is fun. Super easy, quick, easy, in and out of games. I love that. And then, Marvel Snap it's definitely a gotcha game if you are one of those people that are are susceptible to gacha games, which I am not. I have not put any money into these at all. But they're fun to play. I enjoy it. It's a good little time waster. So Marvel Snap is definitely, if you're looking for some phone games, check those out. I also like vertical phone games. I don't like ones I have to turn my phone horizontally.
Is Backbone only for iPhone?
I thought they made a Backbone for Android stuff, but maybe they don't.
I'll have to check. Maybe I'm just looking at the iPhone one.
That could be. Let's see, what else? Those are the mobile games that I've played. What else have I played? I played some more Plague Tale Requiem, which I'm struggling with Plague Tale. I don't feel like this first game took as long to play. And I feel like the second game is taking a lot longer. And after going through God of War and the movement in God of War and then switching back to Plague Tale, where it's very slow and methodical and it makes you be very deliberate with what you're doing and stealthy, oh my God, it's driving me fucking insane. And some of the things that it makes you do are asinine. So I'm like kind of on the verge of saying, like, I've seen enough of Plague Tale, but I want to see the end. But it just feels like it's really buffed out for no reason.
Well, and like God of War, it feels like it's trying to shovel you like onward. It's doing its best to keep you going onward, and it's helping you out. Like the characters are overly quick to like point out something
that
you might not have seen.
Right. Yeah.
Where Plague Tale is like, feels like it's fighting you the whole time you're playing.
Yep. It's like, hey, you want this box to be right up against that wall. You're going to have to reposition it like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck, man? Why is it so hard?
That's why, like, to see that game get nominated for Game of the Year is like, what the fuck? The first one was cool, but this one's not that much different than the first one.
Yeah, but and narratively, it's just not really my cup of tea so far. Like, I'm just not really digging what I'm doing. So, I'm going to try to push through a little bit more of it, but I'm just struggling right now. I just don't really care. I wish I had more good things to say about Plague Tale Requiem, but played some Fortnite. New Fortnite season dropped. This is the probably the best Fortnite drop since they started No Build. They added dirt bikes that you can ride everywhere. The new map, it feels smaller, feels a little more congested. It is not like a ridiculous Warzone map where it's just miles and miles long. The way it looks is cool. The UI updates are awesome. The new guns are pretty good. The rewards that you get when you're up, you know, unlocking things in the battle pass seem cool. Again, Doomslayer, fucking Geralt, just all the different things are pretty cool. So big fan of the Fortnite drop this season, this chapter. And strangely enough, like this chapter runs for like 4 months, which feels like an eternity, but who am I to judge? Really, really big fan of Fortnite still. Man, it's just an easy game to hop into.
What is, you know what Harmonix does in Fortnite? Because Epic bought them, I guess, and I heard they're...
I remember that.
A Fuser game that is getting sunsetted, if that's the right term.
The card music game?
Yeah, it's basically Drop Mix, but digitally, just from what I've heard. I have Drop Mix, but I don't have Fuser. I was just wondering what they even do.
I wondered if they were doing the music stuff, just like all the different tracks and things like that, because there's different like lobby music or different music you can unlock throughout the season, but I don't know what Harmonix would be doing that, unless they're helping, because there's a lot of like creative things that you can play, or like they'll sponsor an artist and then they'll build levels around this artist. And then you have to do certain things while you're listening to this artist's music be played, or watching their music videos up on these screens as you're transitioning from area to area. They could be helping with that, perhaps.
Like Billy Idol.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I would be down for a Billy Idol, Billie Eilish mashup. That'd be pretty good.
Oh boy. Okay.
Give me that kind of white wedding. I'd be into that.
Shotgun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good question. I don't know what Harmonix does. They're definitely not doing what I wish they were doing, which is making
look it up.
Making more Guitar Hero stuff.
Making more Amplitude.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's see. What else have I played that we can talk about? I picked up and finished, I think it's Hoa is how you say it. It could be Hua.
I think it's
on Switch.
I get it on Switch. It was like $4, I think I said, right?
So it was like $10 on PS5.
Yeah, definitely not worth fucking $10. $4 is a great price. Really easy puzzle platformer. Like Ralph said when I messaged him about it, it's super simple, but it was cute. I think the hand-drawn art style always draws me to things like that, and I really, really enjoyed looking at that. The music was phenomenal. That's what I kind of thought that... if you like, you would like it, but like, I think the wife would enjoy it and Little Bird, because it's just a really chill, laid back game, and the music is excellent. Really, really good time with Hoa.
I picked it up.
Did you?
I did.
Nice. I think the I really enjoy the music and just like the laid back chill vibe of what's going on.
Yeah, I remember that coming out last year, and like almost bought the physical version several times, but I heard it was like short and really easy. I was like, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I think I had enough gold points or whatever to
even...
to get it on Switch.
Yeah, I was like, for $4, like this is a no brainer for like you want 2.5 hours to be wasted of your life for $4? Cool, I'm in. Give it to me.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out sometime.
I'm into it. And then the last thing I played, the last thing I did is I platinumed God of War because I'm an idiot and I have nothing better to do apparently. So,
I mean, was it hard of a platinum?
No, was not that hard. That was not that hard of a platinum.
I'm planning on doing the same at some point.
The hardest part of the platinum is fighting the two hardest enemies in the game, which are, this ghost dude and then the new Valkyrie queen.
Maybe you can set it to easy if you want.
Oh, sure. I didn't even realize that. I just played it on where I was playing it at and beat them both. That Queen Valkyrie, I mean, I grinded for that for a good, I would say, 5 to 6 hours between the two of them. But that Queen Valkyrie, I got last hit that I had, killed her. It was fucking, it was probably 2 a.m. and I was just like, yeah, I was so excited. I could have sounded like Kratos as I was screaming. I was so pumped. I don't want to say too much about the game itself. Ryan, where are you at? What have you seen? What have you played?
Just got done doing something with Freya. So that's about where I'm at, I
think. Freya and Freyr?
I already talked to him.
In the sands?
I'm past. Yeah, I went and did some side quests for some. It was like a light elf and a dark elf in the sandy area.
The husband and wife. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know their husband and wife.
Did you free the Hufgufa?
Both of them.
Yep, yeah. Squids. That scene's pretty cool. We can get those out.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was happening there. They just disappeared.
They just look cool. Made the sky look badass.
I thought they were gonna start banging.
just sounded like the whale sounds in the sky.
Well, they're talking about like parents having children to like pass their, I don't know, their I guess lineage on or whatever. So right when you free both of them, so I was like, okay, we're gonna watch these two bang.
Yeah,
is that what's happening here?
How are you feeling about the game overall? Are you enjoying it? Do you feel like it's kind of a slog? Do you feel like it's taking a while? What do you got?
Well, yeah, the game does seem really long, but so was the one before it. I think the only thing I don't like is just like some of the characters, the way that they write some of the characters, and like they try to crack too many jokes. So sometimes it doesn't really make sense why they'd be even cracking jokes. And I don't remember. I'd probably have to play through the first one again, but Kratos doesn't really seem like his performance is that great this time around. A lot of the stuff he says is weird. It doesn't seem like something he would say. But I don't know. I guess they're trying to make him seem more like a regular kind of character, and I don't know. To me, he's just not that. But the gameplay is really good, very much the same. You get more sidekick characters, and I think that's where it's kind of a little different. But other than that, like it feels very much like the first one. But it's all pretty smooth and plays really well. A lot of combat.
And the thing with the combat is, like, I remember playing the first one and being like, okay, this combat feels different. But once you get into it, it feels very fluid, right? There's like a rhythm to it. And then I remember when I went back when the 4K 60 frames mode dropped and tried that, and I was so lost with that combat. And then going back to this, I was like, man, am I going to feel like that? But no, it gradually brings you back to it, which is cool. But that combat for sure is like in it, like it feels unique enough to that series of what it's doing that I enjoyed it quite a bit. I will say the story itself, and I will say the performance that they're trying to give you has less emotional depth, I feel, at times than I thought I felt in the first game. And that is where I struggled a little bit, is There was a scene where I just flat out bawled my fucking eyes out. And I was like,
the first one or this,
no,
or
in this one? No, in this one. There's a scene that I just lost it. And it wasn't even like, it honestly isn't that big of a scene, but it hit me hard enough that I was just like, wow, I'm fucking crying hard. Like, I did not expect this. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, they want to, the way they're trying to portray Kratos is for sure subverting his own lineage and expectations that he's given himself. And I think that there's part of that is to add to the story of, like, you know, the first game, he says it multiple times, and he says it in this game, we have to be better. We have to be better for our kids.
He's like giving out personal information unprovoked, and like that doesn't seem like a Kratos thing. Like, that doesn't seem like something he would do.
Yeah.
Especially like given him trying to be overly cautious. So just weird stuff.
Yeah, a little and then, like, strange balance.
Freya takes every opportunity to talk about protecting children. Like I know it's a game and it's a long game, but any situation where there's something about a child being protected, Freya's going to comment on it.
Yep. And she's going to make you feel like shit.
Yeah, well, it's like her character should be more than that. Like, that's not all Freya is. She's not just protecting Baldur. Like, she's definitely more of a character than that. But
right.
So, like, that got pretty annoying.
I feel like she gained more of an identity as the game went on, though.
The first one or this one?
In this one.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I haven't really gotten that far because she hasn't really done much other than just talk about, like, her horrible marriage with Odin.
Yeah, I think so. There's definitely some redeeming qualities there. But the game takes some turns and some twists, as to be expected. I can't come away with it saying that it's better than the first game. I really can't. I mean, gameplay-wise, maybe. The idea that there's more to do, for sure. I think they build out some of the side characters a little bit better in this. But like, as I wrapped up, it's hard to be as impactful as that 2018 reboot, right? Because it was such a departure from what the God of War games were. And to see them succeed in that was so different. And then getting to this, and it's like, it's more of what you want, but it is more of what, it's more the same, right? And so leaving that game, I was just like, okay. This is it. Like, this is what we got, you know? So I'll be interested to see how you feel come wrap up time and what your overall feelings on the game is. But yeah, I platinumed it. Obviously I had to look up some of the things to go find, cause I was confused at times with some of the different puzzles, but, nothing out of the ordinary to go and do. I do just love all the different realms and the ability to just travel between them. That is really cool.
Yeah, their map is a little noisy, though. Didn't look that great. But I said, to me, like, the character that felt like the best and most well done was the character that gives Atreus his, like, destiny. That felt, well, maybe because it's also, like, a character that you haven't interacted with. So
Angerboda.
Really, yeah, I don't know how to say her name.
Angerboda, yeah.
But all the other ones, though, other than like maybe Sindri, like all the other ones, I feel like they're pretty inconsistent with. I don't know. And then like they're constantly trying to crack jokes too. Like I don't know why they have to always be cracking jokes, but
yeah, Brock is always cracking jokes. Mimir is usually quick on the
Kratos, Sindri, Tyr. They're all occasionally trying to crack some jokes, even at the beginning when Odin and Thor come in. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they just need to have comedy in there. I don't know.
Gotta bring some levity to it.
But not all of them land, but yeah, they try.
Yeah. It's hard for me to not say that God of War will wind up being close to the top of my list only because of de facto that I didn't play a ton of other games. But I'm battling between myself with how much I thoroughly enjoyed that game and how much something like Shredder's Revenge, you know, did to me because of how simple but effective it was, you know. But does that game outweigh the narrative and combat in God of War Ragnarok is currently what I'm struggling with when it comes down whittling my game of the year list. So,
It's definitely the best playing game I've played all year. Like, it's very smooth, very easy to get through.
I would say, like, so. I was trying to compare it to Horizon 2, right? Another first party Sony game. And while Horizon 2 felt like it wore out its welcome, I never felt that way with God of War. Like I never felt that I was tired of playing this game. At the end of Horizon 2, I was tired of playing Horizon. I was over it. It didn't do a good enough job to keep me engaged and having a good enough time. God of War, like, I would go back and play more God of War right now if there was something for me to do. There's no new game plus, none of that. Like I said, I platinumed everything, so I cleared out everything on the map. I have nothing left to do. So
I do wish they would give you more abilities quicker, because like there's some stuff that I've seen that I couldn't interact with yet early on that I've already forgotten about.
Don't know
exactly where they're at because they take so long to give you the thing that lets you interact with it.
You end up coming across that stuff by accident almost the entire time, or by not even by accident, but like because the game's going to force you to go back to this area, and then you're going to be like, oh, hey, there's that hole in the wall that I can't do anything with. Can I go do something now? Oh, cool. I can do this.
Oh, because yeah, I would have immediately went back there. Like, as soon as I got the ability, I would have immediately just been like, okay, I'm going to go back and do those things.
And you can, and I did for a lot of that stuff, but then you end up going through it story-wise anyway for a lot of it. So it's like, well, I could have just waited.
Yeah.
But that's everything that I have played. Ryan, do you want to continue and talk about, obviously, talk about God of War already. Do you want to talk about Dark Pictures Anthologies, The Devil and Me?
I got that game. I wasn't sure if I was going to get that game when it came out, but I went ahead and did it. That game is pretty good for one of those. It's not like The Quarry. It's a little shorter. Like all those Dark Picture games are a little bit shorter. It's like the same kind of
6-8 hours, right?
I'd say closer to six. Probably can do it under six. Especially if you're like, I think if you kill a lot of people, which it's very easy to kill people in this one, you'll probably finish it a little sooner. That's the only thing that's kind of like, they each kind of have their kind of trick to like what you need to do to keep people alive. And this one isn't as obvious. Like in Man of Medan, they made it seem like everybody was kind of hallucinating and you weren't really seeing what you thought you saw. So it was pretty much just like, if you think somebody's coming at you to kill you, it's probably your friend, so don't attack them. But this one isn't quite like that. You're basically like, it sets you up with H.H. Holmes killing people in his murder hotel. And then you'd have this film crew who kind of is doing a documentary on that. And then you end up going to this H.H. Holmes enthusiast island where he claims to have a bunch of, artifacts from H.H. Holmes and has also like partially recreated the hotel. So you think everybody thinks that they're going through and is going to be doing basically a documentary in that place to have some stuff that actually looks like the hotel. And then like all hell breaks loose from there and the person's actually trying to kill you just like H.H. Holmes was. So that's kind of neat going through that. Like a lot of the characters aren't great. The girl from Men, Jessie Buckley, is in it, which is kind of strange. Like I couldn't believe that she decided to be in that game. Especially like they actually have like a interview with her on the disc and she claims that she's never played a video game before, so that was pretty weird that she chose to be involved with this game. But it's a good time. It's I think The Quarry is better, but for what it is, it's all right. I think it's a little buggy right now too, because there was like an achievement for playing the game solo, and I played through it twice and I didn't get the achievement until I played through it the second time, so I don't know what happened. I think some of the stuff is still pretty buggy, but they haven't patched it. So
is there a trailer for the next one at the end of this game, like it was after House of Ashes?
This is the wrap up of season one. And they do show, like, basically what they do is they'll put, like, a final premonition. And if you find the final premonition, it's basically, like, premonitions are, like, this is how you might die or how somebody could die or, like, some situation that might happen. The final premonition you find is actually, like, a premonition from the next game. And it's, like, some type of space horror game for the start of season two. I don't know what it's going to be called. I can't remember.
Interesting.
I don't know. These games are, I don't know if it's like their engine is old and like they're kind of having the telltale situation, but like it'd be nice if like they took some time to do some work on that to make it a little bit smoother, because like this one was definitely buggy. Like I said, it was worse on PC than consoles. Like I watched some people playing through on PC and like the character's neck was like breaking and looking backwards. So, and weird stuff like that. But most of the stuff that I ran into was just like achievement bugs, like something like I clearly did and no achievement popped for it. So it's kind of weird. But I did not save everybody the first time through. Second time through, I saved everybody. And then first time through, I only had two people left. So there's a part at the end where you just don't do anything and pretty much everybody could die. So I just didn't do anything and just watch both of them die to get the achievement for everybody dying. So, but
Strange.
yeah, and like the game as a whole is pretty weird because like it gives you kind of like a Michael Myers type vibe or a Jason Voorhees type vibe with the killer, which isn't quite clear why that's happening, but I don't know, I guess I didn't read all the notes and stuff. Maybe there's somewhere in there it's explained. But they mix in different stuff too. Like there's kind of like a psycho type scene, which is really weird. And then, yeah, but a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense either. Like if you were trapped in a room that lights on fire, do you think you could survive that by hiding under a grate?
No,
A metal grate.
definitely not.
Yeah, so like stuff like that, like
A
doesn't
lot of
make a lot
plot
of sense.
holes, yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean that's just like they just decided, okay, that's how this character is going to survive, and doesn't
We
really
just
seem
don't
like
care.
that
We
would
don't care what
happen.
you think. Yeah, we don't give a
Yeah,
fuck.
they try to tease you too. Like a lot of times when you'll have a situation where a character could die, they'll tease you and make you think that they died because they'll cut away and like, oh, you made the bad decision. This character died, and then they'll come back and show that the character actually survived.
Weird.
Yeah.
I know you were really digging this game, so tell me your time with Star Ocean: The Divine Force. I know that you were just hammering away at that game for a while.
Yeah, I got kind of tired of playing it towards the end because, like, I was trying to, and apparently, I did a poor job of it. Like, there's, I did a better job without trying in the last game, Integrity and Faithfulness. There's a bunch of private actions that I looked up to see to try to get them all because they have a bunch of different character-specific endings. And I thought I was doing pretty well, but apparently I wasn't because I only got one of them out of like I think there's like five or six characters that you can have in your party. And yeah, I only got one. It was the android lady who apparently had a crush on the guy with the big sword that you guys saw on the box art, Raymond. And he was telling my character about it. She was seeming kind of jealous because I guess he was going off without telling her where he was going. And she had to explain to her, the android, that sometimes men just needed to have time to themselves. Really weird. But so that was like the character ending I got. But towards the end, it definitely like kind of like overstays its welcome. I still enjoy playing it quite a bit, but you fight the same character like six times. And he ends up being like the final bad guy. So and like every time you beat him and every time he can't believe it. But it's still good. Like they changed the combat. The only thing I wish they didn't do is like they still have like attack points, so you can't just attack without stopping. Like you basically like God of War or something like that. So you have to either like buff to get more attack points or just kind of use your attacks and kind of run around for a bit. And then they have like some blindside ability where you can kind of fly in and keep attacking. So that kind of felt like it slowed it down a bit, but it's definitely an improvement from like the older Star Ocean combat, which was more like the old Tails combat, which was not a good time. But I don't know. Still very anime game, very old school style game, which was kind of refreshing. Because like they I think I said this last time. They make minor like quality of life improvements, but it's still very much like an old school style Japanese role playing game. Same kind of structure, very goofy anime stuff. But and not the best looking game either, but it looked good enough. Characters were very stiff, but I don't think they did any. I don't know if they did any motion capture. They might have. Maybe they did for like some fighting stuff, but
Who makes these games?
it's Tri-Ace.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they, I don't know what all else they've done recently, but they've definitely done some weird games in the past. And Square Enix continues to let them do their thing. So,
They must sell okay, I guess.
yeah, I guess I don't think they get as big a budget as some of the other developers, but it's kind of cool that this game is still going, because I think the original was on Famicom or something like that, and then it made it to PlayStation. So they've been around for a while, but and I think this one probably did better than the last one, so maybe they'll keep making them. But they did do remakes of the PSP. Like the first and second ones, they had a remake of those on PSP, and then they did a remaster of those and put them on PlayStation 4. But I don't think the first one sold well enough for them to do the second one in the US. So,
Maybe one day.
yeah, I've already played both of them on PSP, and I bought the first one on PS4, and it's pretty much the same thing, just looks a little nicer. So. But it's got the old combat, so if you want to know the old Star Ocean combat, PS4 on PS5, Star
We all
Ocean.
check it out. We all do.
Yeah.
I'll order my copy right now.
You can. It's usually on sale for like under $5 on like holiday sales.
So big ups to finishing that, and then you also finish Lake, which I don't think is very long, right?
No, Lake is around, I think, 6 hours.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, that game's pretty chill. You're pretty much like set in the 80s, and you're working for some software company. Seems like you're doing like some type of like life management type of software. Like, can't remember what it was called. It had some goofy name. And for some reason, your parents, like the girl's parents, are going out on vacation to Florida, and the dad's a mailman, and he asks his daughter to come do his route while he's on the in Florida on the
Hold on,
road.
hold on, hold on. Ralph, did you make this game in the future? Is this like 20 years from now you made this game?
And but I
Yeah.
said it like 30+ years ago.
Right.
Yeah, it's a small
Poor.
town in Oregon, is where she goes to. That's where her dad lives, and that's where she grew up. And I mean, the game is not well made, and like, but it's well made enough, I guess. Like, it's definitely kind of buggy and doesn't look so hot, but the gameplay is real simple. Like, I guess the basic of the story is like you're kind of having somewhat of a midlife crisis where you got your like fast-paced job in the city, but then you are going back to your old hometown, which is this really small, slow-paced town in Oregon. And they try to like make it look really nice, and it looked pretty similar to like what I saw in Oregon. And you're kind of trying to figure out like what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to go back to the city? I guess just say fuck it and go out on your own and go on an adventure, or just kind of slow down and go back to your old life and that small town where you could basically like the dad decides. Well, I guess I don't want to spoil too much, but that's kind of like the crux of it. Like you meet some people, you meet some lumberjack guy who you could go on dates with. You meet some lady at a video rental place that you could go on dates with, and then there's like some little girl that works on cars at like the only car place in town. And
Date.
then no, you
That's
do kinda, you do have something that could be seen as a date with that character, but it's not.
Is it supposed to be the same character as Final Fantasy 13?
No.
The girl. No. The girl mechanic that everyone went nuts over, wearing nothing.
And then, like, I don't know who did these. Like, you will hear these same four songs. I think it's four. Maybe it might be more or less, but I think it's about four. But you hear the same four song over and over again. And it took me almost 2 months to finally get those songs out of my head while I was driving around in the mail truck. And they're like they're catchy and only sort of good. Like some of the song is good, and then there's a part where it just sounds terrible. So, but yeah, you're delivering the mail, helping some crazy cat lady out who's got like 1,000 cats, doing all kinds of, and some of them, you meet some old childhood friends, and then, some adults you knew, as a child, so yeah, it's a very interesting game in terms of just like life perspective. But for gameplay, it's pretty boring, but simple enough that it kind of lets you just keep going and not really like, it's not like Plague Tale where you feel like you're fighting the game. It's simple and smooth where you can get through like the simple stuff. Like you're basically just doing your route, delivering mail, and then going to meet people. So
like literally it's a life sim.
Yeah. But very simple. Like, you don't get to like choose to eat or anything like that. You don't even really get to like leave your house other than when you're on your mail route. Like all that stuff is kind of like, they force you into these scenes. And then work, I guess kind of doesn't go away either. Like they'll still kind of call her and talk to her about stuff going on at work, even though she's supposed to be on vacation for a week, actually 2 weeks. So
why is this game rated mature?
It's rated mature for drugs because you meet these hippies and like this campsite area, and they have an RV, and I think they say some bad words. I think they might say fuck or something, and then they're also doing drugs. Like, I think they're just, and you, like, they kind of reference like weed and worse stuff, but I think they're mostly just doing pot. And I think that's why I got an M rating.
Sounds like the people on my mail route, but okay.
Yeah, and they reference like the video game or the movie clerk. She references a lot of real movies, like Blue. Like they go see Blue Velvet, which I couldn't imagine going to see Blue Velvet when it came out. Like I feel like that movie was probably pretty under the radar for people back then. But they go to Astoria, Oregon, which is where The Goonies was filmed. And that's where they watch Blue Velvet, but they don't show any of that. They just show them in the car, and the car looks like shit. They like show dashboard of a view of the car, and it looks very bad. they probably should have put some higher res models in that car, but they did not. So yeah, I mean, that game to me, like, I originally didn't want to play it because I thought it was going to be too boring, but it is. Somewhat boring, but not enough that like I couldn't get through it. So I figured it was worth it. I probably should have played it last year. But that's actually I bought it for $10, but it actually was on sale at GameStop even more for like $8, like seven something. It was like,
I thought it was on Game Pass too for a little bit.
But yeah, it was. Like I had a sealed PS5 copy and I played it on Series X Game Pass. So I didn't even open the copy I bought.
Nice.
But easy achievements. I don't think it gets a platinum for PlayStation though. I have to double check.
A lot of those games they don't anymore, but
yeah. I picked there's like three basic choices. I did all of them, so none of them were really that satisfying. Kind of how life is, I guess.
Yeah, it's a mailman. Yeah.
Yeah. But some weird. Oh, there's also gambling in it too, so that might be why I got rated mature.
Do they refer to her as a male ma'am? Is it at any point?
I think some people make jokes about that. Like they definitely take the low hanging fruit of her coat. Looked pretty cool. Like she's got a pretty sick male coat. Looked very comfortable. I don't know if they give you guys coats or not, but the one she had looked pretty comfortable.
I got a real sweet, very thick and heavy winter coat that is not possible to deliver mail in.
So a straight jacket?
It's way too bulky. I have it here at home in case I have to like shovel snow or something. So yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But I pretty finished that game in like two sittings. Like I think two days. So just two straight sittings of a lake. And yeah, it is set around a lake. You drive around a lake. So
there you go.
Anything else that you played, Ryan, that you want to chat about?
I think that's it. I don't think, other than Madden, I don't think I've been playing much else.
Well, your real life Lions are going to be in the playoffs, so.
Yeah, it seems. I think they already like booked their tickets to the Super Bowl. I think.
I think it's them and the now Baker Mayfield led Los Angeles Rams. Yeah. So
sorry, Packers, but not going to make it.
Your time is up. My time is now.
The Lions play the Vikings this weekend, so I'm sure that's going to end their playoff hopes.
Dude, you know what? The Vikings like to play down to their opponents, so it'll be fun to watch them get beat.
Well, the Lions had them on the ropes last time and then let them come back.
I remember that. All right, well, let's turn it over to the master closer himself. Mr. Careful Ralph will take us home with what he's been playing, and then we'll play America's favorite game, which I have failed at playing recently because I've not been playing enough games, but we'll get there. Right now, Careful Ralph, please tell me about Radical Rex.
Radical Rex is actually was on the Evercade. It was on Genesis and Super Nintendo and I think even Sega CD, but it's like pretty much a remake of that game I covered in speaking of video games on YouTube. We're back at Dinosaur Story, except it was originally called Baby T-Rex, whatever. This is kind of like a remake of that, and I kind of forgot I had a way to play this game till I pulled out the Evercade cartridge and played it. I mean, it's just a pretty standard side scroller, your dinosaur is a skateboard. It's severely radical.
Sounds like some other dinosaur game you played not that long ago.
Yeah. Very similar. I don't know. It's fine. Like I don't know. It came out at a time where everyone was trying to have like a mascot platformer, you know, which is like where Bubsy came into everyone's lives. But it's not bad. It's a good Evercade cartridge.
Good nobody one to cares have.
About it. It's called the Pico Interactive.
There was a new Evercade that dropped, right? Did you pick that up?
It's coming out next week.
What is it?
It's another handheld one, but it looks more like a Switch, and it's got Tate mode built in.
What? Sorry, I'm asking you a bunch of questions. What is the thing that they were talking about on the Player One podcast where they were able to play a bunch of old games? Phil has one.
Analog Pocket.
What's that? Is that the old Game Boy thing?
So as far as I understand, like all the analog stuff is, I don't remember what the term is, but it's not, you're not emulating anything. It's actually reading
native, right?
But like the Analog Pocket, like it's HD, of course, and like on that one you could play like all Game Boy stuff, and then you get the adapters for Game Gear and whatever else.
Does it come with games preloaded, or do you have to then purchase like stacks of games to play?
Analog stuff you'd have to purchase your own, unless it's able to use like an EverDrive or something, which I don't know much about, but where you can get ROMs and put them on. I guess it could probably do that, because I thought I heard about somebody playing that canceled Vanilla Ice Game Boy game on their analog pocket.
Like that would be. That's what I'm saying. Like, is this like that thing that they were talking about for a while on Giant Bomb, where it's just like a little box where they can put different hubs of different games and they can just play them?
Um,
or no,
you mean The analog or the Evercade?
The analog.
I think the analog is just basically a modern
console, right?
Yeah, it's just like a very modern version of the old console that it's.
Okay, so it doesn't just like come with games on it.
No, as far as I know.
I think they actually tried to make the actual hardware again with one of those programmable chips. So you should be able to put whatever NES game or whatever
cartridge
in there, and it'll run it like it's trying to run it on the NES. So
it's called FPGA or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like the Myst. I don't know if it was like the Myst, where you can just like have hubs of games already loaded on this thing, and then you play it that way.
I think that's why the analog is so expensive, because I think it's much more expensive than the Evercade stuff, right?
Oh yeah, Evercade's pretty cheap. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about the Mister. Like, there's a GameStack video about it, and it went above my head.
It's interesting, but I'm not smart enough to know anything about it.
Well, like, this new Evercade is just like a better version of the handheld. It's got like a bunch of Capcom games built into it, which I think is weird, but fine. But I actually, of course I did. I pre-ordered the Founders Edition.
Oh, you froze.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Bad deal.
Oh, no.
Bad things are happening. Evercade's hearing him talking about pre-ordering things for the Founders, and they're not allowed to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. He signed that
NDA.
Yeah.
Now that they're coming for him. They're coming for him. Can't do that. Can't talk about it. First rule of Evercade Club. First rule of Evercade Club is you can't talk about Evercade Club. Hello.
You're back.
Nope. This is We're Back, the Level Up Show podcast video game.
They got you for talking about the Founders Club. They cut you off.
Yeah, you start talking about the Founders of that system.
You guys were saying, but I don't know if you listen.
It's awesome.
Anyway, it's all true.
Tate mode on this thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks nice. So that's coming soon. It's coming from Europe somewhere. So I don't think I'll get it next week. But Evercade. So now I'm going to have two handheld Evercades for no reason.
Fuck yeah. But
whatever. Yeah, that's not the right response. But yeah, that's fine.
I'm over gassing you, bud. Fuck yeah. Let's go.
I mean, I could hook you up with an Evercade if you wanted to.
I'm sure you could.
That's about it for Radical Rex.
What about the global playtest? Are you continuing to enjoy that, or is it gone?
I still have it, but it's probably going to be gone just later this week.
Not feeling it?
I don't know. I think it's mostly because... I actually really enjoyed Sonic Frontiers for a while. And I it doesn't feel right to be playing that game as Sonic, but it's like, he doesn't belong in this. But then you kind of get what's going on, and you're like, okay, this is kind of fun. I don't really know what I'm collecting or why.
Okay.
There's a few different things to collect. It doesn't explain it. I finally just kind of figured out some of it on my own. I don't know. I got to some boss at the end of the first zone. Like, well, the zone.
How was the music for that boss fight?
It was pretty nuts. It had vocals. It had some metal sounding guitar. Pretty good. The zone, I spent like 5 hours in that first zone. Like, I was just kind of like doing everything in it for no reason, like collecting everything. And then I was like, I think I've had enough of this game. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that in several more zones.
Sure.
How many there are. But, I mean, I know people are complaining like that it doesn't feel, or like they were, I don't know, like it offended them almost that this was a Sonic game. And it's like, I don't care. Like, I mean, I thought Sonic Adventure was weird when I first played it because it was a lot different than the side-scrolling Sonics, but I have a weird love for Sonic Adventure, even though it's not a good game. So I don't know. Like, I don't think Sonic Frontiers is bad at all. It's just, it doesn't, I feel like the next one they make will probably be, or it could possibly be really good. But I mean, this is kind of like a 6 or 7 out of 10 sort of game, whatever the bus scale would be.
I mean, but that's not bad because most Sonic games are not good.
Yeah. And like, it's just like, I don't care enough to finish it at this point.
You've seen enough. You know what it is. It's whatever.
Is there a lot of dialogue or talking in the game?
Yeah, and I was skipping a lot of it, which is probably why I don't really understand.
Is it voiced?
Yeah, it's definitely voiced. Yeah.
Oh, it's different voice actor than the movie Sonic.
Yeah, this might be the one who did like the cartoon.
Yeah, stuff, the animated like show, I think.
Roger Craig Smith or whatever his name is.
Okay.
May not be what his name is.
Are there any humans in it? Besides the bad guy.
Centipede.
Oh, no. Yeah, you and 80 Rose are getting, you got mouths in on the buttholes. I don't know. Some weird kid is in there who could be human. It's hard to say.
Okay.
But I guess the one of the thing I don't like about the game, like I like roaming around in the open zone. It's not quite open, sort of. Like that stuff's fun, but then, I mean, there's other games that do this, but it's almost like Super Mario 64, except not really, but where you're like running around in the open area and then you go into a door and then it's a level, you know? So in this, like there's like these spots where you go into this area, this hole, I don't know what the hell it is. And it's a level that's like a regular Sonic level. And those are not fun, I don't think. And they're the most like, they're the most like modern Sonic, and I don't like really any of the modern Sonics since Sonic Adventure. So I don't know. I was like always dreading having to play those levels. And I
did the boss fight seem cool though? Like, or is it?
It was like remember in your favorite game of all time, Shadow of Colossus.
That's what this game looks like. It's like Shadow of the Colossus mixed with, what was that other? God, Ryan bought it like 4 different times.
What? Four times?
Nier.
Oh.
I don't think any of those play like Sonic game, but.
Well, I just mean like the idea of like the scale in the world itself.
Yeah, big bosses. So the boss is pretty big.
The boss is like a titan. I forget. They may even call it a titan. Like, you got to climb it, which is very easy to climb.
It's a shadow one.
Yeah, I mean that's my experience with this. But yeah, very easy to climb. You just hit like a speed boost thing, and you're up the thing. And then you're like flying in the air because you've become supersonic, and you're like punching the thing. I don't know. It just seems stupid.
Is this baby metal? Is this baby metal as the track when you're fighting this boss?
It could be. Like, it sounds like something like that.
It sounds like baby metal.
I heard the songs were pretty crazy.
Yeah, like, I've always thought Sonic games have had great soundtracks since Sonic Adventure. That's like the one thing going for them. I think they're great. I don't know. The combat is overly complicated for no reason. Like, you could just go in, mash and square, you're fine. But you have like a skill tree and you're like unlocking different moves you can do that are all pointless and involve way too many button combinations for no reason. And I don't know. I think it's a good, they're going in the right direction with this game, but it's, I mean, if you could get for like $20 or less, I think it's
do you have the ability where you can do circles around people?
Yeah, that's kind of neat. That's like one of the first things you learn, but
probably doesn't work on the big bosses, but
on some bigger ones you like do a circle around their feet and then it like makes their feet come up and there's something under the foot and you like hit it. So okay. I don't know, and like fighting the enemies is kind of fun, but there's like only a few different types that I've seen.
If the Switch game is at like sub $20, would you do it?
Probably.
Just to see.
I feel like Well, like I've said before, I have more time to play on Switch anyway.
You think if you would have got it on the Switch, you'd have played it more?
Probably, but it would have ran horribly.
Yeah, so. you would have gotten rid of it a lot faster.
It doesn't have a 60 frames per second mode like PS5. But
no,
it just has 30 frames and probably lower than that.
Yeah, probably. Like the PS5 version is weird because like it, as soon as you start it, it's like, why is this running not in 60? And then you got to go in the options to turn on 60. Like, because it starts in 4K and it's like, my TV can't handle this anyway. But whatever.
Yeah, that's weird.
But, yeah, I guess that's Sonic. I talked about too long.
Last but not least, you played some hack.
Dot hack.
That's dot it. Dot hack GU.
Last recode.
How's, how are you feeling about that?
Okay, so this is four games, and apparently there were like seven dot hack games on PS2. I don't know.
Is it the same one that I have, or no?
Well, you have it on... What do you have it on?
I have PS4, but I don't know if it's the same.
It's the same. It should be.
Yeah, last recode.
Yeah.
Very anime guys and girls.
Whoa. Eric, where's your copy at? He didn't even look at it.
Right here. I got my own copy.
Yeah. Got
the different cover. Phone. Different cover.
That's the anime porn on the phone.
So there were like four dot hack games and then three dot hack GU games, as far as I know. And then they added a fourth one into this one, which is like a short one. I don't know. I've never played any of them. I think they're super fun. I'm very surprised I like it so much. Like, I'm almost 10 hours into the first one.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but I watched somebody review all the dot hack games, and they said the first one is the best, and it's all downhill from there.
Okay, that's fine. As long as it plays similar, that's fine. I don't need the story to make any sense. The combat's kind of fun. Like, have you played any of these, Ryan, or have you just...
No, I've only watched videos of it, but I remember when they came out on PS2, and they looked cool, and I wanted to, but... never bought one, and then finally got this version, and it's still not opened.
That tells you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah.
Mine is opened. I mean, the combat is that like Trials of Mana, where you do like walk into an enemy and then it would turn into a battle scene, and like you're in a
like a little circle,
real-time combat.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I think that's how Tales of Arise is also, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not as smooth as Trials of Mana, but they tried to make it better. They did the same thing with Star Ocean. They tried to make it better, but they're not quite there yet.
Okay. I think it's very basic combat. I think it's fun, though. Like, I got some dude with swords, which is the character you have to play as. He's a real jerk. I don't know if you guys saw whatever I posted on Twitter the other day. If anybody's still on Twitter.
I don't think I saw it. No, I am still on Twitter, but I don't think I saw it.
Is it Cyberpunk before Cyberpunk?
God, not yet. Yeah, kind of. There's like some scene where this girl's talking to the main character. She's like, should I stop talking? And he's like, hell yeah. That's funny. The premise of this game is like you're just some dude, but you're playing an MMO or MMO game, whatever. The main menu is like your computer, like screen, your homepage of your computer, whatever on earth it's called, I can't think of. And like you actually like can check your email, and you have to log in. Like log in to play this actual game.
Can you forget your password?
Not yet. I hope that's because you can set your wallpaper and whatever music plays on your desktop, which is interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't know why. I have a soft spot for like PS2 era games, or really like any game that's not modern anymore, because it's just like. There's not a ton to it. Like, there's enough to where it's interesting, but it's not overwhelming. And it just looks nice and clean, but not like extremely fancy.
I don't know. Some of those older games were pretty overwhelming. I just watched somebody break down the different versions of Tactics Ogre, and there's a lot going on in that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, a game like this where the combat's pretty straightforward, like, I almost picked up Tactics Ogre, and I was like, I don't think I'd be able to handle it this time in my life. Yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying this. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, those games always did look cool. Just never played them.
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to decide what to do, if to like to make long plays or something and put them on.
Oh, there you go.
YouTube channel. I could just put it on our own podcast channel, I guess.
True.
But so I'm trying to decide what to do with that. I might do that with this one day. We'll see.
I forgot to mention I did pick up Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope when it was $39 at Walmart, which I thought was a steal, by the way.
Yeah, it's still.
Is it still that price? So not as much of a steal as I thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't come out too long ago, so yeah. But it's, I'm surprised it's still $40 on Amazon right now.
So pick that up. I have not that got a chance 40. To play it.
Kirby only dropped to $45.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Ubisoft, baby. Ubisoft.
Kirby's been out for so long.
Ubisoft, baby. Eating all that cost.
Yeah. It's so weird, but yeah, like Nintendo just treats that like a Ubisoft published game.
Man, go fuck.
Yeah.
Put that fucker at $20 for all I care.
They should. Didn't they do that with
the first one was like $10
or something like that. The game came out, and then like not that long after, it was like $20. Yeah.
Phoenix Rising, it was super cheap, really fast.
Well, I saw it. If you bought Rabbids at GameStop, you get a free download code for Kingdom Battle, which was.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's kind of.
But it's probably not $40.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt what you were doing, but I meant to say that I did pick that up. So
now you weren't interrupting.
Are you picking up Crisis Core next week?
I really want to, but I also did not pick up Callisto Protocol, and I'm just like my backlog, which is already not being utilized properly, is just ever growing anyway. So I'm like, Callisto's gonna drop. I know it's gonna drop in price. Fucking Dead Space is in a month. Crisis Core, I really want to play, but it's coming out next week. I'm like, fuck, man. It's a nightmare of a time right now to be fucking a broke 34-year-old gaming dad.
I might get Crisis Core. I might also get Callisto. I'm like 5 points away at Best Buy from having a $10 certificate.
Speaking of that, I had a random certificate last night from Best Buy. When I clicked it, I got that email, and I clicked it.
Lucky,
and
I didn't get that.
I did, and I clicked it and it didn't, it took me there and it was like error. And so I messaged them and I'm like, yo, the fuck. And they're like, no, sometimes it can take, a couple, a little while. Nope. It's there. $5. Woo.
Yeah. I got one either last year or the year before. And, that's $5.
And it expires in 5 days.
Oh, damn.
What a nightmare. Holy buckets. So now I got to find something to use at Best Buy for $5, a $5 reward certificate on. What the fuck?
Alan Wonderland. Wonderland?
Yeah, Wonderworld. Oh, fuck. If Callisto was not $70, I would use it on that, but I don't want to spend $70 on Callisto Protocol.
Yeah, that wouldn't even cover all the tax.
Yeah, $74. I'm just not. Not into that, so I gotta find something else, I guess. I could always buy what's on. I don't want to buy this either, to be honest with you, but The Last of Us remake is still $50.
Yeah, I want to play that too.
I really want to. It's not $50 at Best Buy, but I could price match it because it is still at Amazon. It's still $50, so I get it for $45, but still, like, nah, god damn it.
Play that before the show.
I could. That's what made me want to replay it. I was like, I would love to replay this game. And I have obviously the original fucking, I think I own it twice, if not three times, digitally at least. And I was like, I would rather just play the remake, I think. But I don't want to spend that much money. So, we'll see.
The sold $70 Switch is definitely kind of messed up the discounts. Like it seemed like a lot of games were dropping like 35 or 30.
Yeah, now you're lucky if it hits 20. If it hits 40, you're okay.
Yeah. So,
Ralph, any other games you want to talk about, or should we send it on down the line to surmise the score?
We can surmise.
Let's surmise. Let's surmise. It's the new theme song.
That's fine. Welcome to Surmise the Score, a segment of the show where we try to guess Metacritic scores for games that aren't on out yet. During this thrilling season, if you want to
play it. The game
that you've been told to play.
Fuck.
If you lose, the winner
gets a chance to live the good life.
Yeah. Remember when I finished Hollow Knight, though? Can we just revel in the good times? Can we just
Psychonauts, too.
Yeah, can we also just revel in the fact that I finished four of the games I've been challenged to play in this whole season? No, okay. That's fine. I wanted to ask to see if I had an out.
Well,
even
if you
would
have finished the good life, then definitely.
then I get some...
That,
yeah.
This game is a challenge.
I figured maybe I'd have some goodwill because of Hollow Knight, but no, fuck me. Sorry. Next.
I mean, you do, but
I'm
not
just
enough.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Whoever wins gets to make the loser play a game from their backlog list if they really want to. Except we can change that whenever you want. Change that stipulation. So, many times ago, we surmised the score for one of Derek's favorite games of the year. Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot about that game.
That is on my list.
Wonderlands?
Wonderlands.
78 out of 100. That was the PC version, which had the most reviews.
Okay.
So, coming in... Oh, no. I just realized. Okay.
Oh, no.
Coming in second with a
no.
It was Ryan.
Oh man. Well, the good life is no longer on Game Pass, so.
What the guess maybe four was Derek.
This is what this segment should be. It's until I start playing the games again, I just lose every time. Oh.
I totally didn't mean to do that. I thought I wasn't, but I think I picked the wrong game.
So it's way funnier this way.
Derek, you lost.
Third time.
You already played Ratchet and Clank.
Third time in a row. The remake thing.
The PS4 one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Derek,
yeah.
What you play?
I gotta highlight this one. I didn't highlight it before.
Is Vampire Survivors on Game Pass?
It is. I have it installed on Game Pass on my Xbox, actually.
Okay. You want to play that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I want to hear about what that is.
Okay.
Or if you want to play it,
Vampire Survivors. Got it. It's installed. I mean, I'm literally there already. So
I could tell you to play it. Platinum God of War, Ragnarok. Yeah,
that's already done.
Yeah, then you wouldn't have to do it.
That's true. Set me up for success, I already have.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that again.
Did you finish Hades?
I never finished Hades, no. I mean, I was successfully getting to the Hades boss battle, but could never kill him.
Okay, maybe you could finish Vampire Survivors.
We'll see.
It's on Mac OS. You can play it on your Mac.
I'm on my computer quite often, so
I got my Mac. Can't figure out how to get Skype on it, so that's why I'm not using it.
Oh, yeah. pretty easy. At least it was back when I installed it. I don't know.
Microsoft owns Skype too.
I mean, yeah, this Mac's like 3 years old, so I don't know if I can even get it. Like, it wasn't on the App Store, unless I can get some weird way to get it on there, but. It's cool. This tablet still works for this. we can surmise a score for a game that comes out later this week.
Oh, okay.
It's come to Crisis Core, but it's already got some reviews.
Oh, does it? Are they good?
Yeah.
They're not great, but they're good.
Upper 70s, middle 70s on.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Treasures, a game that I don't quite understand what it is, comes out on Switch later this week. It's exclusive to Switch.
Dragon Quest, what is it? Treasures?
Treasures.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in this.
Okay, sure.
We'll see some reviews, see what happens.
Sure.
Since I just said that, I'll go first, and I won, I guess. I'm going to go with I don't really know. It's not a mainline Dragon Quest game, so I'm not really sure, but I'll go with an 82, just for the heck of it. 82. Ryan, how do you feel about Dragon Quest Treasures?
I did watch a video of it a long time ago, and I already forgot what it was. So I'm going to pick an 80.
80, Derek, do you want the sandwich?
I'm gonna of course fuck myself here. I'm gonna go low. I'm gonna go 76.
Oh, I thought you were gonna do 79.
No. I'm gonna go lower. Give myself a little wiggle room.
I put you guys' scores on the wrong.
Yeah, it's perfect. That way when I win, it's because of Ryan.
Yeah, we will. We're not gonna remember what we picked.
I make it up all the time anyway, it's fine. no, I don't. Dragon Quest Treasures. That's all I got for you.
All right. Well, we're fast approaching the end of the year, which usually means we wrap things up, we tidy up some games, and then hit in January, we will do our game of the year, which will still be the plan. Is there anything on your guys' list that you are dying to make sure that you play before the end of the year?
I gotta play Stray, game of the year material, apparently.
Yeah.
You're the only one that finished that, Derek?
I did. I did finish Stray. I really liked it.
Okay.
What about you, Ralph?
I was going to pick up Need for Speed Bound, but I don't know.
Isn't that on Game Pass? Just download Game Pass for a month.
Oh, I don't know. Is
if
it?
Pretty sure it is. Never tried it. It should be a dollar, right? Don't they do like Game Pass for like a dollar, like $1?
Yeah, I think
for
so.
Your first.
I don't think Unbound is on Xbox One.
Whoa. Oh, it isn't?
I think it's only on PS5 and Series X.
Oh.
As far as I know. I probably won't pick it up, but I may try out this Dragon Quest Treasures. I don't know. Like, I would love to play Elden Ring, but I know I won't finish it, so what's the point?
Sure.
And I would play God of War, but I won't finish it either. So really,
I think you should definitely play God of War.
I don't know. We'll see. my top five or whatever is not going to be great.
Whoa. Did that HOA game come out this year?
Nope. Last year.
Damn.
I mean, this Dot Hack fit technically came out on Switch this year. Like, I could go through that loophole if it's actually
sure.
Not gonna finish all four games by end of the year.
So. I think for me, like the game that I really wish would have been, or I would have bought, and I was hoping it was gonna be on Game Pass. I really want to play Rogue Legacy 2.
Yeah, I guess I've forgotten about that.
I really want to play it, but
it's still only available for PC. Or
no, it's on Switch now. I think it just came out for Switch, but what? I didn't want to buy it. So I was hoping it was gonna hit Game Pass. I was being lazy, so.
So is it on the newer consoles too? Just not on Game Pass yet.
It's only on Xbox and Switch, not on PlayStation yet.
What? That's weird.
Because that's where I want to buy it, is probably PS5.
How did they only put it on Xbox and Switch and not have it on Game Pass? That's weird.
I don't know the logic or what they did behind or why they did it with the sequel and only having it come out on Xbox. I don't know if Microsoft maybe put a little money in there or what, but... Yeah. It was out for early access in 2020, and then they released it for Windows, the Xbox One, the Series S and X, and then the Switch.
Dang.
I'm pretty sure...
Limited run so, exclusives coming soon.
The first one came out on Windows in 2013, and then came out on everything PlayStation in July of 2014, but didn't hit Xbox until 2015. So if there's anything to go off there, if there's anything to go off there, there's going to be a year of exclusivity somewhere, or at least against PlayStation probably, and then get back to it later. So,
yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out.
That's probably the game that I think I'm like most wishing that I would play. I have Sparks of Hope. Obviously, I would like to check that out. I would like to finish Immortality. I think that's.
Did you finish Call of Duty?
I never started Call of Duty's single player mode. I know that's normally my thing. I've not. It's on my list of things that I've not done, and it's like I should because I own it. Also, I'm mad at myself because. Out of all the games that you would think I would have just bought digitally because I play them enough, I would have just bought Call of Duty digitally, and I didn't. I bought it physically, which is dumb. So I'm really kicking myself because that's a game that I wish I just owned digitally and didn't have to think about swapping discs for if I want to play something else. So,
well, there is a game that you own digitally that you could just switch to.
Tell me more.
Returnal.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Back on the backlog list.
Oh man, what a nightmare that game was. Is there an easy mode yet where I can pause things and?
Oh.
What's that?
Didn't they add a co-op thing?
Yeah, there's co-op or whatever. That game was brutal. Fuck. I remember being so excited about that game.
I thought it was gonna be
so good, but. All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 309 in the books. We'll be back at you hopefully relatively soon with another episode. But until then, for Ryan, for Ralph, I am Derek. We'll see you on the flip side. Level up.